This morning, the Gospel of Luke chapter 22. This looks more like a Sunday night crowd than Sunday morning, but that's all right because the message is going to be more of a Sunday night message. You spend Sunday morning, we read our text and stick to the context of where we're at. But this morning, these four verses that we're going to read and look at are going to take us wandering off into other places of the Bible to get the right understanding of what the Lord had said. And so it's going to be a page-turning Sunday morning. Luke chapter 22, we are in verse number 35. Luke chapter 22 and verse 35. I have not been able to get last Sunday's message off my mind all week. Quick, I'll ask you, what was last Sunday's message? There you go. Right. All right. Being sifted by Satan, and the thing that led the devil to want to do that was the disciples sitting around saying, who among us is the greatest? And that was pride. And pride made them a prime target for the devil to go after. That thought has been following me all week long. And when we allow pride to sneak into our life, we make ourselves a prime target for the devil because he can use somebody that's full of pride. But time to move on. Verse number 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to gather here this morning to open our Bibles. Father, to read this portion of Scripture. Father, it's short. It's very precise. And yet the background, the material behind it is so important for us to know. Father, to stay correct and doctrinally right. Father, so many have erred in these things by not studying the Scripture, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So, Father, give us some insight here this morning. Help us to understand the context and the statements of the Lord. Father, we might properly put things in their place in the Word of God and not be led to confusion by the devil as he tries to lead us astray. Father, bless your word to each and every heart. We do pray especially should there be one today that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, does not have the peace that passes all understanding, does not know that their sins are forgiven, that they can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can be with them and help them through this life. God, we pray especially for that one, that today they come to that realization and that they would trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Bless your word to each and every heart. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to gather here this morning. We ask for your presence. Father, we ask for your power upon the preaching of your word. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Back in 1963, how many of you remember 1963? Yeah. Divide, Sarah. Back in 1963, a young man wrote a song that was very popular, and the name of that song was The Times They Are A-Changin'. Bob Dylan wrote that song, and in the words of that song, he talked about the politics of our nation and how the senators and congressmen, he named them by, not by personal name, but by those titles, and how the political scene was changing. He even talked about rebellion within the home of parents and children and how children were no longer listening to parents and all this, and he named the song, The Times They Are A-Changing. And I guess out of any decade that I could pinpoint personally in American history, that decade from 1963 to 1973 had more change in it than probably any other 10-year span as far as I can list anywhere through American history. Now, there might be other periods that compared with it, but it definitely was a changing decade and a time of change, and I must say most of it not for the better or not for the best, but it was a time of change. And some might say, well, Bob Dylan had an element of prophecy. You know, he saw these things. No, Bob Dylan was an observer. And he observed the things that were changing. And there's a big difference between a prophet and an observer. Observer can notice the trends and say, here's where we're going. A prophet can tell you about the changes without any trends being spotted. There are a lot of observers today, but there are no prophets. Somebody comes up and says, well, this guy said this would happen, you know, Orson Welles, 1984, this and that. Well, they saw some trends, but boy, were they off the mark. You know, if Orson Welles was right, we wouldn't have driven here to church. We'd have flown here to church today. So they wrote some things that they could see a trend coming, but they can't predict the time table of that trend. That's the difference between the observers and the prophets. Jesus Christ is the greatest of all the prophets. He made an observation, but not just made an observation, he predicted and prophesied the change in the times that were going to come even during his earthly ministry and during his life and then on through eternity. He can look at things and say, fellas, things are about to change. Look at verse number 35. He said, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said nothing. Then he said unto them, but now, things are going to change. Circumstances are going to change. Times are going to change. But now, he says, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. He says, this is the way things have been. This is the way things are going to be. Something's going to change. And in verse 37, he even tells us what's going to make that change. The Bible has more information in it than you and I will ever be able to imagine. It won't be till we get to heaven till we find out how rich and voluminous this book is, and all that it told us that we've only scratched the surface of because we don't spend enough time reading it. We spend too much time in front of the television, too much time with the newspaper, too much time with our favorite book other than the Bible to really go to the book that's got everything we need that we don't even realize. And when we get to heaven and have that perfect knowledge, and God instantaneously, when He puts this this incorruption puts on, and we get this new mind, this mind of Christ, and we're filled with all things from the beginning to the ending, and knowing what the Bible has, we're going to say, oh my, why didn't I read it more? Oh my, there was so much there, even in John 3:16, so much more than I ever imagined was there. We will never get enough of the Word of God. And that's why, folks, and I'm going to get off in tonight's message if I'm not careful, that's why we cannot spend enough time in that Bible and we don't recognize the power of that Bible and our lives are not changed by that Bible because we just don't spend enough time there. The Lord told them things are going to change. And this change that takes place between verse 35 and verse 36 is the reason that so-called Christian churches teach things that are wrong. The change between verse 35 and verse 36 is the reason some people tell you you've got to be baptized to go to heaven. The change between verse 35 and verse 36 are the reasons why people think that Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6 is the things you're supposed to practice daily in your life right now. Because they don't recognize the change. Look, if you would, keep your place here, but look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, if we could rate this sermon on a 1 to 5 scale, 1 being Sunday school material, and 5 being the depths of the deep blue sea doctrinally and theologically, we're more toward the 5 than we are toward the 1. And so I trust I won't go over your head, so to speak, and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. I remember when I first got saved, I used to go hear a preacher preach. And I'd read his books and I got his material and I couldn't wait to hear him in person. And I went to hear him in person up in Livonia, Michigan. And I sat there like a deer in the headlights. As a young Christian, everything was going over my head. I had no, everybody else was saying, yep, that's right, amen, glory. And I'm thinking, what in the world is he talking about? And so we develop in our Christian life where we can handle more. The Bible defines that as the milk of the Word compared to the meat of the Word. And we get the milk, and that sustains us, and we grow on that. We need that as infants. We can't handle the meat yet. But then as we grow, we can chew more and more meat and tougher meat. And by the way, that's the best way to grow, is to have meat. I'm waiting for that. To grow on the meat of the Word. But there were times, I know what it's like. And this morning you might say, you know, well, that's a little fast speed for me. I'm not quite there.
get what you can from it. That's what I had to do way back then. You know, get what I could understand and then keep reading my Bible and keep growing and figure the rest of it out as it went on later. That's why it's wonderful that salvation's so simple. You don't have to know anything. You don't have, you know why a lot of Christian school, or not Christian, but Christian young people, you know, us that raise our kids in church, you know why they struggle with their salvation when they're 8 years old, and then they struggle again with 13? Am I really safe? Because they learn so much later that they didn't know when they're 8 that they think, well, I couldn't have been saved then. I didn't know all this. You didn't have to know this to get saved back then. And it's not that they didn't get saved, it's just they're thinking, you know, I didn't know all this stuff that's in the Bible. I didn't know about the gap theory, and I didn't know about sanctification, and I didn't know all that. How could I have been saved? Because you knew Jesus died for your sins. And you knew if you trusted Him, He'd be your Savior. And there was somebody at the camp Friday, gave his testimony, got saved, led to the Lord by his grandfather when he's 4 years old. You say, it can't happen when you're 4 years old. Happened to him, and he sure it did. Can't change his mind. He grew up around it. He was around it. He trusted Christ as his Savior. So what I'm saying this morning is this stuff is a little bit deeper than the plan of salvation. But it encompasses and shows you why you have the plan of salvation. Look, if you would, at 2 Timothy. I said that already. Chapter 2. Let me find it also. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says this, study to show thyself approved unto God. I might tell you, by the way, that all the new Bibles change that word study because they don't want you to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. I might tell you also that all the new Bibles change that word dividing because they don't know how to divide. They can add and subtract, but they haven't got to dividing yet. You know, that's sixth grade. They haven't got there yet. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That verse tells us that there's some divisions in the Bible that we need to understand, lest we get confused and put the wrong things in the wrong place. Now, we're familiar with the basic dividing. There's 39 books in the Old Testament. There's a blank page in between. There's 27 in the New Testament. We've got biblical division down. We know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that's great. That's a good start. As long as you know that, you've got something down. Why aren't we making animal sacrifices like they did in the Old Testament? Because we're this side of the blank page. And I don't mean to be facetious, and please don't take that wrong. I know that the blank page means more than a blank page. But we know the divisions between that. But may I tell you, there's many more divisions even between Matthew and Revelation than just the Old Testament to the New Testament. And without a proper understanding of the divisions, you get caught up in false doctrine. You get caught up in thinking you're supposed to do things today that aren't for this day. There's some folks, Lewis and I were talking, there's some folks down in front of the courthouse on Saturday morning out there having a healing service. You know why? They haven't rightly divided the Word of God. They don't know what things are not for today. It's all, well, it's in the New Testament, isn't it? Well, Judas Iscariot went out and hung himself in the New Testament. What's that got to do? You're going to do that? You've got to rightly divide. You've got to put things in the proper place. We're not living in the book of Revelation. And we're not living in the book of Matthew. And so we're not living in the book of Acts, by the way, either. All those things can lead to confusion. When people get their doctrine from Acts or from Matthew or from Revelation, you've got to realize these are different time periods. You've got to rightly divide the Word of God. Let's go back to Luke chapter 22 and take that principle and see the Lord said the times are changing. It has been this way. I have sent you out and I've told you to go out without any money. That's purse. He said, I've told you to go out in verse number 35. He said, you've gone out without any shoes. But have you lacked any of these things? And the answer was no. They said, no, we've not lacked any of those. He says, but now it's going to be different. But now you need to make sure you have shoes, because nobody's going to help you. Now you've got to make sure you've got money, because it's going to be scarce. Now you've got to sell your garment and get a sword. You might even have to protect yourselves from those around you. Up till now, you haven't needed it. I've been with you. I have sent you out. I have protected you. But the days are coming where you're going to need these things. The times are changing. I want you to notice in verse number 35, he says, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. In verse number 35, the Lord is saying to his disciples, I have chosen you. I have sent you. I have provided for you. And you have preached my message. Look back, if you would, keep your place there and look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. When Jesus called his 12 disciples and sent them forth to preach, he said, go not into any, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those 12 Jewish disciples were sent not to any Gentile town, not to any Gentile village, not to any Gentile people. Remember the one woman that came to the Lord and asked for healing, and the Lord said, it's not meet to take the children's food and give it to dogs? What did he mean by that? You're not of the house of Israel. You're not one of the Lord's people. You're a Gentile. Back then we were thought of as dogs, as outside of the fold, as outside of the household of God. And the Lord expressed that in that parable. Now, he did something wonderful for her because of her extreme faith. But he emphasized this fact that he was come to the lost sheep of the tribe or the house of Israel. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. They had some wonderful power back then. Verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee. And John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas, Matthew the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus. And Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite. And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's not what the Lord wants right now. You have to rightly divide the word and realize that these people that have this power for casting out unclean spirits, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, that ability was given to these 12 disciples who went to the lost house of Israel to preach a message to them. Can you put it in the right time frame? Understand that early in the Lord's ministry, he's going only to Israel. And he chooses these disciples and he says, go and do these things. In verse number 7 of Matthew chapter 10, he says, and as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now again, I don't want to, we're going down to level 4 or level 5 here. The kingdom of heaven is not the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom, is not the gospel of the grace of God. It's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a message that the Lord gave his Jewish disciples to take to the Jewish people that he was their Messiah. And that they needed to accept him as their Messiah by going to John the Baptist and having a baptism of repentance. All these things bind up together. This is that time period. Israel, no Gentiles. Israel, go to John the Baptist. Have the baptism of repentance. Recognize the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is the gospel of the kingdom which is proclaimed and preached unto you. This is mentioned in the book of Matthew. It's mentioned in the book of Mark. It's the gospel of the kingdom being proclaimed to them. It's signified by healing the sick, by casting out devils. These are signs and wonders for the Jewish nation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, the Greeks seek after wisdom, Gentiles. We seek after knowledge, after wisdom, but the Jews seek a sign. And so when God dealt with the house of Israel, he did it by signs and wonders. And that is the gospel of the kingdom. It's not the gospel of the grace of God. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what a lot of folks do? They take these things from the gospel of Matthew, or they take these things from early in the book of Acts, and these different things, and they try to apply them to today, and they're way out of the realm of what God intended them for. They are trying to imitate what God did at a different time period. And they get misled by it. And they get their salvation from a wrong dispensation. Now, there's the big word that categorizes all of this stuff. The wrong division. Look, if you would, also here in Matthew, in chapter... where am I? Where in the world? How did I get to Matthew 10? That was the right place, but that's not the verses I had written down. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Here's what it says about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Verse number 23 said, Jesus went and was teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He was telling them, I have come to be your Messiah. I am the promised one of the Old Testament. I am the seed of David. I am the offspring of Jesse. I am here to be your Messiah. And he went only to the lost house of Israel, presenting the gospel of the kingdom. If you will just accept me as your Messiah, I will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. This is being offered to the Jews during this time, and it's accompanied by signs and wonders. Look, if you would, also at Matthew chapter 9. The majority of this teaching about the kingdom is found in the Gospel of Matthew, because Matthew is writing to the Jew. Matthew is writing to the Jew about Jesus presenting him as king. We know Mark presents him as servant. Luke presents him as the Son of Man. John presents him as the Son of God. But Matthew presents him as the King of Israel. And so the Gospel of Matthew is full of these references to the Gospel of the kingdom. Thinking about when Jesus came to this earth, the government was upon his shoulder. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He was counselor. He was the mighty God. And so he came to be that to them. And he came to Israel and offered his kingdom to them at that point in that time. The gospel of the kingdom, accompanied by signs and wonders. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. You say, we just read that. No, it's a different place. 5 chapters later, he's still doing the same thing. He's committed to this ministry. Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus is continuing what he was doing in Matthew chapter 4. Now he's doing it in Matthew chapter 9. He's presenting himself to Israel, and he's showing himself as to be the Messiah by all manners of miracles, by healing and casting out demons and even raising the dead. He's showing Israel, I am your Messiah. Therefore, when he sent the disciples out, that message was so much to the house of Israel, and the disciples were going to the people of Israel as Jewish people, that when they went, God promised, they will provide you with money, they will provide you with food, they will provide you with shoes, they'll give you everything you need, it'll be taken care of as you go preach the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is coming. Look, if you would, over at Mark, we'll cross over from Matthew into Mark. Chapter 1 and verse number 14. This continued on. John the Baptist has already been baptizing. Jewish people have been coming to him for the baptism of repentance. Remember this. Jewish people have been coming to a prophet that's preaching to the house of Israel to get baptized, because that's the gospel of the kingdom. Now remember that, because that'll be instrumental when you get to Acts chapter 2 and you wonder why Peter says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And the Church of Christ will tell you that's the plan of salvation. Not for you it isn't. That's Peter preaching to the lost tribe of the house of Israel on the day of Pentecost and what they need to do. That's not for the Gentiles. That doesn't happen until Acts chapter 8. Now we're in level number 5 of Bible doctrine right now. But look at Mark chapter 1, verse number 14. Long after John had baptized, now he's in prison. Now he's at the end of his life, John the Baptist. Jesus picks up and it says in Mark 1, verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel, what? Of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God. I am your Messiah. I have come to be your king. I have come to rule and reign. I've sent my disciples. You will take care of them. The house of Israel will provide for them as they preach the gospel of the kingdom. And if you'll just believe, the kingdom of heaven will come down here on earth. I'll set up my throne and everything will be great for 1,000 years. It'll be the millennial reign of Christ. But things are changing. Look back at Luke chapter 22. That was verse 35. Jesus Christ came and offered the gospel of the kingdom. But verse 36 makes a change. No longer will they receive you. No longer will they provide for you. In fact, if you're going to go out there, you better be prepared to provide for yourself, because they're not going to like you. They're going to cast you out for my name's sake. Yea, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. There's a change in everything surrounding his disciples. And he says to them in verse 36, now he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Something is going to change. We're moving from the gospel of the kingdom to the gospel of the grace of God. There's a change taking place. Notice that, if you would. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24. When you're done with this lesson in about an hour, and I don't mean to sound facetious or anything else, but when you're done with this lesson, you will have gotten more theology than you get in most Bible colleges in a year or 2 years. And I'm not saying that to build this up or anything. I'm saying that from experience and knowledge. I've talked to graduates of Bible college over and over again. And again, this isn't really necessary. You can be a missionary and not really have this thing really down, because you know you're out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to be real clear on this stuff, but it'll muddy the waters when you're not. But what you're getting right now in this message is deeper than a lot of Bible college students get. And that's not intended to be a slam on anybody or anything. But notice in Acts chapter 20, verse number 24, Paul said this at the end of his life, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, notice, to testify the gospel of the kingdom. To testify the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the kingdom is not the gospel of the grace of God. You say, how do you know? They're spelled different. Things that are different are not the same. The gospel of the kingdom was Jesus offering himself as a Messiah to the Jewish people, that if they would acknowledge him and receive him, then he would be their Messiah. He would be their God here on earth. The gospel of the grace of God is that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, and that he gives everlasting life to all that call upon him. That's the gospel of the grace of God. It's not the gospel of the kingdom. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul refers to 11 times in his writings, starting with Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. To the Jew first and also... See, it's expanded now. It's different. It's not just to the Jew anymore. It's the gospel of Christ that's to the Jew and the Gentile. You and I have gotten in because of the gospel of Christ. Had it been the gospel of the kingdom, we would never have been included. It was for the Jew alone. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is for Jew and Gentile. For whosoever believes, the gospel is available to Jew and Gentile alike. Thank God for the gospel of the grace of God. That's how we're able to get in. Romans chapter 15 and verse 19, Paul said, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. There's a change in the Bible. From Matthew and from Luke until we get here to Acts chapter 20, Paul has picked up something that John the Baptist didn't have. John the Baptist preached the gospel of the kingdom. Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not the same gospel. One is to the house of Israel about accepting their Messiah. The other is to Jew and Gentile alike by accepting their Savior. They're not the same thing. And people get so confused when they go back to the gospels and say the signs and the wonders and the outward things and all these miracles and all these things. That's what we're supposed to be doing because that's what Jesus did. Yes, because He was showing Himself to be the Messiah, and He anointed His 12 disciples and apostles to do the same things as they went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. See, the New Testament, really, the gospel is about the life and ministry of Christ. The book of Acts is a transition that takes you from one to the other. And from the book of Romans and from Paul's ministry there in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, when he got converted under the gospel of Christ and went into all the known world to proclaim the gospel of Christ and wrote about it. He said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7, he said, there are some that would pervert the gospel of Christ. What were they doing? They were taking the Old Testament doctrines. They were taking the gospel of the kingdom and mixing it with the gospel of the grace of God. And they were messing everything up. And Paul said, those are those that are perverting the gospel of Christ. You're saved by grace alone. You don't need anything else. Somebody says, well, Peter said, repent and be baptized. Not the kingdom of the grace, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's preaching in Acts chapter 2 to the house of Israel, not a Gentile in sight. Preaching to the house of Israel who had rejected their Messiah and saying, here's what you need to do. As they went to John the Baptist for the baptism of repentance, you've got to believe, you've got to get baptized to show it, and it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. So somebody's trying to get to heaven now by a different dispensation. Somebody's trying to go to heaven now by something God commanded of Israel and the children of Israel. And it doesn't work that way. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27, Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. See, the emphasis in our day is the gospel of Christ. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, even the gospel of John, you read about the ministry of Jesus Christ, and the emphasis is on the kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. See, somebody, that's a nice song, but you know what that is? That's looking at the wrong dispensation. He's trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Not now he isn't. He will one of these days because in Matthew chapter 24, boy, now we're going level 6. In Matthew chapter 24, it tells us that gospel of the kingdom is going to be restored here on earth after you and I, the church, are taken out. So you and I are parenthetical. You ever been called that before? Yeah, not recently. You and I are parenthetical. You go to the book of Romans, and Israel is parenthetical. In the book of Romans, Paul is talking about the gospel of Christ and goes back all the way up to chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Shall persecution, shall trouble, shall trials, all these things. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors to Him that loved us. And then you need to go from the end of Romans chapter 8 right to Romans chapter 12. Therefore, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice. You say, preacher, what about chapter 9, 10, 11? Read them. You know what they're about? They're about the house of Israel. Now, it's not that they don't belong there. Don't misunderstand me. Not that I'm saying they shouldn't be there. But in the gospel of Christ in our day, the Jew is parenthetical.
And in chapter 9, 10, and 11 of the book of the Romans, Paul repeats three times something to the same extent about my heart's desire for Israel that they might be saved. That God has not cast away the people whom He loved. And he puts the emphasis on Israel because God has not put them away yet, but we live in the gospel of the grace of God, not in the gospel of the kingdom that was for Israel and that will be for Israel when the church is taken out. And people get all mistaken and all misguided and wrong in their doctrine when they take the wrong thing and put it in the right place. All right, there was the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. Look back at Luke chapter 22. The Lord tells us what divides those two things. Verse number 35 is describing the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 36 describes that period of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 37 tells us what comes between verse 35 and verse 36. For I say unto you that it is written, yet must be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors. You know what separates those two kingdoms? The cross of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice for sins when the Jews rejected him. Folks, you understand, if he would have come back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the nation of Israel would have accepted him, things wouldn't be the way they are today. It'd be a whole different history written down. That one event of them rejecting or receiving their Jewish Messiah would have changed all the rest of history. But they rejected him. And they took him to the Roman leaders and delivered him to be scourged, delivered him to be bound, delivered him to be whipped and tortured, and delivered him to be crucified on a cross. They did that in rejection of him. And so then he turned to the Gentiles. He again went to the house of Israel right after the book of the day of Pentecost. He's still working with Israel. And there's a lot more things to throw in here. You know, in Acts chapter 8, when Stephen gets stoned, he says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Where is Jesus right now? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Why was he still standing in Acts chapter 8? Because he was still waiting for the nation of Israel to receive him. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost to the nation of Israel. He said, this is the one God sent whom ye have crucified. And if they would have repented and received him then, boom, again, right to the kingdom of God. But they said no, and they stoned Stephen. The next guy who gets saved is an Ethiopian eunuch. And then the Apostle Paul, who writes about the gospel of the grace of God. And you and I have what you and I have today. Salvation by faith. Plus nothing, minus nothing. You don't have to cast out demons. You don't have to heal people. You don't have to get baptized. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. One night after our tent meeting, it was Monday or Tuesday night, a fella came to me as we were dismissing and he came over and showed his colors very quickly. He said, how come you Baptists don't talk about baptism for salvation? Right then I knew he was Church of Christ. And I said, because the Bible doesn't talk about baptism for salvation. I said, the Bible says, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. No baptism. He said, that's just a saying. I said, no, that's Acts chapter 16 and verse number 31. You know why? His mentality is you've got to do something yourself. You've got to get back. You know what that is? That's a Jewish mentality. That's a kingdom of God gospel. And people today are trying to get to heaven. They're trying to get to the kingdom of God they're trying to get to heaven, as it were, by going through the old kingdom doctrines. And they want the healings and they want the baptisms and they want all of these different signs and wonders, even tongues, we don't have time for that, come into play in this transition of God showing the Jewish people some things. But it's the cross that makes the difference. It's the cross that bridges the gap from the nation of Israel who rejected him to those today that receive him. To them gave he power to be called the sons of God. He came to make Israel the sons of God. But because they rejected him, the gospel then went forth to the Gentiles, and you and I become children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. But now let he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him buy his garment and sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this is written that might be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. You know what that did to the Jewish mind? Wait a minute. You say you're the Messiah. You say you're the seed of David. You say you're the offspring of Abraham. And you are God's deliverer, our Messiah, and you're numbered with the transgressors? Didn't make any sense to them. But it makes sense to us. Because we know the Bible says that He bore our sins in His body on that tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. You know what those stripes are? They're not your iniquities, or they're not your infirmities. They're your iniquities. By being healed is not talking about being healed of sickness and illness and things like that. In 2 Peter, it's being talked about healed of your sins. If you could take being healed from your sins or healed from your infirmities, which one would you take? I mean, your infirmities only can last till you die at the longest. You get healed of your sins, you'll live eternally in a perfect body. Jesus said, this is the way things have been, but it's about to change because I'm going to bear the sins of the world in my body on that tree, that whosoever believeth in me should not perish but have everlasting life. There are people around this world that are religious people, but they're lost. They're banking on the gospel of the kingdom somehow to get them to heaven. They're banking on miracles and wonders and works, and they're all focused on that, and they're overlooking the most important thing, and that's the gospel of the grace of God that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Theologically, you're saved this morning because Israel rejected their Messiah. Practically, you're saved this morning because you received the Savior as your substitute on Calvary's cross. There's no other substitute that could be made. There's no other sacrifice that could be accepted by God. He sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus Christ has given you this morning the gospel of the grace of God. Don't turn it down. Father, this morning we thank You for Your love for us. God, You did not come to be our King. You did not come to be our Messiah. You came to be our Savior. And Father, we thank You for that. We thank You for bearing our sins on Your cross, in Your body. And Father, we pray that everyone here this morning has had the experience and Father has had the point in their life where they've trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for their salvation. God, if there's anyone here that's trusting in anything but the blood of Jesus Christ and that alone, Father, help them to realize it and to put real faith in You. Thank You, God, for the gospel of the grace of God, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, we're not ashamed. Bless Your word to each and every heart. Speak to hearts in a way that only You can, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Page number 3 in the songbook is...